Hello, everyone. This month I will continue to talk with you about chakra cords, particularly looking at how to avoid them, how to avoid creating them, how to heal the cords that already exist, and also who is most likely to form a cord and why. I want to start there. The main criteria for creating a cord is power imbalance. And I will reference the example that we explored in the last recording, and that was around parent-child relationship. Well, in that relationship dynamic, there is an obvious and clear power imbalance. We have an adult. We have a person with a life history. We have a person who has resources based on experience. This person is also a large person with bigger energy than a child, and that's an important piece of this oftentimes. The child is innocent in a way, comes in with a clean slate, even if you believe in past lives and karma. Well, that child may not be conscious of those resources and life experiences in childhood. Usually they're not. And I do believe in past lives, but a lot of that remains unconscious. And childhood becomes a staging of that karmic piece. And then it is through that childhood that the karma begins to be resolved. It's both activated and can be resolved. That's another topic. So this child comes in without the resources of life experience, and this child is a small being, and energy coming out of this small being is certainly not as powerful as what can come out of an adult. And here's the important piece. The child's survival is dependent on the adult, on the parent, on the caretaker. So that situation is ripe for creating a cord. And we'll address this again when we get to healing cords. Other cords that are common are between spouses. And this usually is a slightly different dynamic. Oftentimes there's not an obvious power imbalance. But what happens is two adults meet. Each has their own life history, wounds, compromises to chakras, and likely cords in place. People gravitate to people that have the same chakra wounds. And so there's a level of familiarity. So I'll use the example of the heart chakra. A person with a cord or wound to the heart chakra, compromised to the heart chakra, may not be very strong in terms of self-love, may not be able to see self or forgive self or accept self. They will find a person who has some version of that themselves. That way they fit. They're speaking the same language. And the cords are not really being challenged. And so that's oftentimes how cords begin to create themselves via that kind of relationship. Cords can exist and often do between older siblings and younger siblings, especially when the older sibling is in a caretaker role. That older sibling is functioning as the adult, has more life experience than the younger sibling. That older sibling can be assertive, aggressive, even abusive at times, to the extreme of sexual abuse, but can be demanding, especially if that older sibling is in over his or her head here, doesn't want to be taking care of this younger sibling, doesn't know how. Then that older sibling can just exert a lot of energy and force and coercion and intimidation, etc. And that situation is ripe for cord. cords can form and often do between a spiritual teacher and followers or students. And spiritual teacher, we can also include guru. Now, the situation there can be similar to the parent-child relationship, and even close to how spouse relationships work. Some spiritual teachers have strong and clear wounds to their chakras, and they would find students and followers that had resonance with that. But separate from that, sometimes when a student or follower finds a teacher or guru, they're coming to them in some state of woundedness. And they find in the guru a level of comfort, clarity, support, etc. And that can, you know, that is a form of power imbalance. It does not have to end in a cord, but it can. If the student or follower is not doing his or her work and being successful at personal healing, then they just might seek comfort through that teacher or guru. So that creates an issue. We'll talk about this one later today too. And the last one is kind of a strange one. And that is that sometimes, and this is rare, but I've seen it, a person can be corded to an organization. And how I have seen this work is that the individual has a passion. It could be a passion about related to creative expression, or it could be a passion for a cause. And if they haven't had support for that during their life, or they don't have an outlet for it, or society doesn't really give them a place to focus this energy, they can find an organization or group and just pour all of their energy, devotion, determination, and purpose into that organization. And it could be, integrated with their career, or it could just be separate from career, but all of that energy flowing into that organization can create a level of self-sacrifice or self-diminishment, or just too much outflow of energy. And that creates a kind of power imbalance too. So, how does one avoid a cord? Well, hopefully by now you've kind of got the sense of this, is the best way to avoid creating a cord is to stand in your own power and wholeness. And by standing in your own power and wholeness, I do not mean that you have to be strong all the time. That's not what this means. It means that you need to honor the self that you are, with vulnerabilities, with wounds, with chakra compromises, with a history that may be challenging. But rather than hide that, or try to soothe that, or try to find an external way to make up for that, that you just own it and take on the path of healing it in whatever way that you can access. Commit to that healing. So then where you can be is standing eye to eye with another person. You have equal footing. Even if you have these vulnerabilities, you still are on equal footing. You're not depending on them in any way to heal you. You're taking that on. And in taking that on, you're empowering yourself. The other big piece about how to avoid creating a cord is be aware of people who are looking to you to save them, to soothe them, to be their healer. People who may not want to or don't know how to take on that healing journey for themselves, but they want you to do that for them in some way. If those people come into your life and want a relationship with you and you recognize that, you need to discern and find a way to address this and tell them that that job belongs to them. That they're healing and rescuing themselves and making up for the deficits that they feel belong solely to them. And this is not what the relationship is about. That may mean ending a connection. Maybe. It may be modifying the type of relationship. Whatever that means, you need to do it. And in that way, you're not setting yourself up for a cord to be created. Now let's look at how to heal cords that already exist. So I want to start by saying, as far as I know, there are two main ways to clear a cord. One is the type of clearing that I use and offer, and that is clearing the cord by resolving the cord. And resolving the cord means you really look at the deep issues of what the cord is, you clarify that for yourself, and you clarify how you participated in it. It's important to understand that a corded situation is not about a victim and a perpetrator. It is about two participants. And what one finds out, even when clearing and healing cords with parents, is that the child was participating, not in an informed way, not in an enlightened way, but in an innocent way. The child was choosing ways to adapt to the parent with his or her demands. And certainly with cords that form through adults, it's easy to see that there's a mutual participation. So that's why I like doing a process to clear a cord, because each person has an opportunity to grow and to be clear and to take on new choices and new ways of being. And all of that is made conscious. The other way that I've heard that many shamanic healers use and other practitioners, and I've used a couple of times, is cutting a cord. I cut a cord when there is a health issue and the person is incapacitated in some way. They can't do the cord work. They can't engage consciously in a process. And I found that very successful. Cutting a cord when you are able of mind and body can release the cord. There's no doubt about it. It's a form of psychic surgery. There's no doubt you can release it, but you're not informed. You don't really know what that cord was about. And consequently, you are not as able to proceed and choose new behaviors, new responses. You're not as clear about how to support yourself. You're not as free to go forward. That's my experience. So I appreciate more the process work. When we come down to looking at how do you heal cords with your parents, I feel pretty strongly that the best way to do it is with a practitioner. And I'll tell you why. There's lots of blind spots here. This cord was created in great part during early childhood usually, and so there's a lot of pieces that aren't conscious. And so it is helpful to have a guide. It's helpful to have someone who can watch your chakras and see where the tension is and see where the cord actually exists and follow the process. I think that's incredibly helpful. If you don't have access to that or don't choose to do that, then I would say that the next best bet is to be very clear about what chakras are compromised and just be a student of your own chakras and keep working on them and developing them and learning about them and being very clear about your history that helped to compromise that chakra. So if you were abandoned as a child by one parent, then take that as part of your history and see where that lives in your chakra system. If you had the loss of a parent or some very stressful situation, maybe too many siblings and you didn't have enough individual attention, then look at that and really see what that did in terms of your development and address that. And I think if you do that well, you can at least keep developing that chakra to a large degree. Now, with that said, the cord is an energetic, putting this in quotes, thing. It exists. Okay, it's like saying you have an arm. If you have a cord, it is there. It's just at the energetic realm. And so that cord is there until it's cleared in some way. And as long as the cord's there, there's a drain on the chakra, and to some degree, there's a block to that chakra expression. So it's wise to address potential or actual cord situations. When we're talking about healing cords between spouses, this is very accessible. And I feel that most people can easily do it. In this case, what you're doing, in this case, what you're doing is you're looking back to the time when the relationship began. What were your circumstances? Who were you then? What were your needs? What were your wounds? And here's the big question. What did you expect was going to happen via this relationship? So I'll give you an example. We're talking about the heart chakra. So if there's a wound to the heart chakra, then you may not be clear about self-love. You may not have the experience of being loved. And so when you meet this partner, your expectation is that this partner is going to love you unconditionally and really make up for this deficit of love that you've had over your life. And so that expectation creates a kind of hierarchy of power. It may not be obvious, but there is one. You're the wounded person, and this person is the one that's acting as the healer or the rescuer. And so in that power imbalance, you're always lesser than that person. And you're very vulnerable to fluctuations of love coming from that person. So what you do to heal that cord with a spouse is you go back to that origin, that time the relationship began, and you really honestly look at who you were, what you wanted, what you expected. Have a great deal of compassion and forgiveness for yourself and inform yourself through your heart chakra that that's okay, but this other person is just a human being. This person is not going to always love you unconditionally and forever, but you will love yourself. And then you do the work that's needed to heal your own heart chakra. You do get into all the depth of that wound or deficit, and you deal with it. And you really come into loving yourself and having compassion and acceptance for yourself. And then you're on a different footing. Then you can see your partner as just a person. The hierarchy ends. And that hierarchy has to end so that you can be in equal relationship without a cord and begin to be realistic in terms of who this person is, who you are, and what can happen. It changes everything. Healing cords with siblings can be done. Again, you need to be clear about where you have compromised in your chakras. But like with a parent, there can be blind spots, and so it can be helpful for someone to hear your experience and work with you energetically and in process to help you uncover the actual dynamics of a cord with one of your siblings, especially if there was some sort of abuse, intimidation, coercion, etc. Coming to the relationship of student to teacher or guru, go to the point of origin. Go to when the relationship began. Really be honest about who you were at that time, what your vulnerabilities were, and what you needed. We're going to use the heart chakra again. So if you had a wound to your heart chakra in which you did not feel loved and felt some lacking in that area, well, here is the spiritual teacher or guru, and this person is generous with love and has beautiful energy and also sees you. So then this person takes on a different relationship, at least in your own awareness. And there's a hierarchy again of power that begins to happen. You're lesser, you're the wounded one, you're the one that has suffered these things in your life. And now you are dependent on the source of love and being seen and the source of generosity and kindness or whatever. And that can create an unhealthy dependence. Now, if you are this student with all this going on, but you take on your own healing process and the teacher is wise enough to say, you have to go handle this. Then you go handle it and you keep establishing yourself as equal and whole. There's no need for a hierarchy. You don't need someone to soothe you, save you, and heal you because you're taking that journey on yourself. Then there is the possibility then to heal a cord that's established itself or beginning to establish itself, or that you avoid the whole potential cord creation. And with the organization, I have to say I don't have a lot of experience with that, but I've seen it. And it comes down to this. We do always have to be aware of how we outflow energy. If we are somewhat obsessive and outflowing at a high rate and we're overextending constantly, we're going to create a deficit. And that deficit, depending on the channel for that, how we're directing that, can be problematic. Don't sacrifice your love for Freudian slip maybe. Don't sacrifice your life for a cause. Don't sacrifice your life for an organization. Begin to keep a balance. You are as important as the cause. You are as important as the organization. You are as important as your own passion. And so that's another way to keep a power balanced. Now, if it's already established and you really have to heal something, you may need to have a practitioner, of course, or you just, again, look at what chakra is in deficit and why. And you begin to really have compassion for yourself and explore that. So you can see that there's a thread in here, which is know what's happening with your chakras. And begin to address it, don't ignore it. So I hope this has been helpful, and I hope last month's recording and this one helped to create a big picture of what a chakra cord is. And I'm happy to answer any questions if any come up for you. You can email me. And that's it. Blessings to you. Bye.